This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Road trip.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The CEOs of GM, Ford, and Chrysler are on their way to Washington. This time, they're driving from Detroit in hybrids. And I imagine they'll be a little more humble after Congress gave them the what for flying their corporate jets last time. According to their turnaround plans, the carmakers will sell their corporate jets. Their CEOs will work for $1 a year. They'll cancel executive bonuses and raises. And they'll make smaller cars, fewer trucks, cut their workforce, and improve fuel efficiency. That's what they promise if they get a bailout. Today, the United Auto Workers Union holds an emergency meeting in Detroit to go over what it might promise. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
The UAW will consider temporarily waiving health care payments from the companies or cutting benefits for laid-off workers. But labor advocate Jonathan Tessini says the union should get something in return.
Any concession the UAW gives should be traded off with control over some of the board seats that the auto companies have, so at least this money that the UAW potentially might give up isn't just flushed down the drain by additional poor management decisions.
But former Reagan administration Commerce Secretary Peter Peterson says the average worker costs the big three $75 an hour, compared to $45 an hour at Asian-owned factories in the U.S.
It's hard for me to visualize, given the politics of this, labor making those kind of changes voluntarily.
Peterson says bankruptcy, which allows companies to renegotiate their union contracts, is the only way to substantially lower the auto industry's labor costs. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Goldman Sachs went from an investment bank to a regular bank so it could survive. It already has about $20 billion in deposits. Now Goldman might open an online bank to raise even more money. The Wall Street Journal says Goldman's considering that possibility. The bank may face a $2 billion shortfall, or loss rather, in this quarter. Wall Street rebounded yesterday, but mixed results overseas this morning. In Asia, the markets closed higher, 1-2%, but European shares are down the same amount. The Dow gained 270 points, more than 3%, to close at 8419. The Nasdaq climbed 51, and the S&P 500 added 32. This time of year, the mailbox can get kind of full with direct appeals from charities. And as you might imagine, nonprofits are especially keen for that money this year. Joel Rose reports.
One bad year in the stock market is generally not enough to stop charitable foundations from giving away money. That's according to Nancy Bird, a nonprofit consultant based in Philadelphia.
Foundations have obviously noticed a huge hit to their investments. But because most foundations base their grant making on 3 years of a rolling average, they're still distributing at a fairly high level, even though their investments went down.
But if the downturn continues into 2009 or beyond, Bird says foundation and corporate giving is likely to suffer. Deborah Kahn is the director of Delaware Valley Grantmakers, a membership organization of 150 philanthropies in the Mid-Atlantic region. Kahn says individual donors may hold the key.
We've seen it time and time again. When times are bad, people who can really do dig a little bit deeper.
Which could mean even more of those direct appeals in your mailbox. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
I guess this was inevitable. Cheaper flights to space. Cheaper being $95,000. A group called X-Core Aerospace is offering flights on a two-seat spacecraft called Lynx. The flights could begin in 2011. The company has teamed up with Jules Klar, known for creating those old guides to Europe on $5 a day.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. Now available at splendidtable.org.
This week, the people who determine whether or not we're officially in a recession said we are. The National Bureau of Economic Research said the economy peaked a year ago. We haven't had 2 straight quarters of negative GDP yet, but there are enough other signs to make the call. But commentator Will Wilkinson says the news isn't all bad.
Recessions hurt, and this one's going to keep hurting a while, but maybe I can brighten the gloom. For most of the media, Wall Street is the economy. The papers and pundits track its ups and downs as obsessively as they track Madonna's love life. And Wall Street, like Madonna's marriage, lies in ruin. But Wall Street is not, in fact, the heart of the economy. The implosion of financial markets and the gut-wrenching drop in stock values creates an illusion of total economic crisis for folks watching from the couch at home. But far from Lower Manhattan, the real engine of the American economy continues to chug along. According to University of Chicago economist Casey Mulligan, the performance of the non-financial economy, the part that actually makes the stuff that improves our standard of living over time, is strikingly independent of the performance of financial markets. What matters most for prosperity is the effectiveness of the non-financial sector in delivering bang for each buck of capital that goes into it. Mulligan says that the crucial marginal productivity of capital over 2007 and the first half of this year was higher than the average since World War II. The role of financial markets is to allocate capital to its most productive uses. When they get gummed up, the economy suffers. But the basis of our prosperity is the entrepreneurial energy and innovation that improves efficiency over time. That foundation remains firmly in place. We're going to get out of this downturn, but that will happen sooner if the government stops trying to prop up already failed financial giants. We'll best ensure continued investment in our still vital economy if we let new financial players rise from Wall Street's ruins.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Feel free to share your thoughts with us online at our website, marketplace.org, as we continue to cover the financial crisis fallout. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.